Hello and welcome to the Mission City Podcast. This week, our campus pastors are joined by Paul Stoller, who serves on our teaching team and is the regional catalyst for West Texas with the SBTC. We brought Paul in to answer a question we received from a congregation member. Why does something have to die in order for our sins to be paid? Paul brings such a great insight and understanding on this matter that helps all of us understand it better. Without putting it off any longer, here are Dave and Chuck.
Hey, good morning, Dave. How you doing, buddy?
Chuck, how you doing? And who is that you got with you today?
I got a friend. I know my only
friend. You got a friend?
I got a friend. Paul.
You have a friend in me.
I do.
Speaking of which, Toy Story? No, I'm just kidding. So, we got to start.
You're
going
to make me cry.
No. What is it about having somebody in here? Like, that's the first one since Don was in here.
And we've had to do it. Hey, good morning, Dave. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Chuck. How you doing? Who you got there with you today?
I got a friend.
You got a friend, huh?
I got a friend. My only friend.
Your only friend.
No, you're my friend.
You got a friend in me.
You're my friend. This is Paul. Paul Stoller.
Hey, guys.
What's happening?
Nothing much.
We're glad you're here.
Glad to be here.
How'd you get in here?
I don't know. Someone let me in.
There's a doggy door.
Dang it, Benny. Did you not lock the door?
Snuck in the doggy door right there.
Now, we are excited to have Paul Stoller, Dr. Paul Stoller here with us today. Paul is a member of Mission City Church and serves on our teaching team. Many of you that go to Mission City have seen Paul preach at both campuses many, many times and always does a great job. And so how did you end up in San Antonio and at Mission City Church as a member? Because it's sort of unique having you in the congregation, but also in the pulpit, and you have served as a pastor for many years before getting to Mission City. How did you get here, and tell us what brought you to Mission City, why you chose Mission City?
Sure.
Well, besides Chuck and I being the greatest campus pastors.
Well, I'm in.
Obviously. Besides that. Obviously. I checked the website, saw y'all were here, and I was like, I'm in. we moved down about a year and a half ago. I started a new job. I've been pastoring for the past 10 years or a decade. And which is the same.
Same six or seven. One.
Yeah, somewhere in there. And so I was in Oklahoma, and so we were from Texas, Michelle, my wife and I, and so we were, always wanting to get back.
You're not from Oklahoma, though, right?
No.
The last place Texas. Says Oklahoma is okay. I heard that's because they can't spell mediocre in Oklahoma. But anyway, I'm
that's
sorry.
That's probably so.
I don't know. Once they find out you're from Texas and Oklahoma, the jokes come and the down with Texas and all that. And I'm like, okay.
Hey, he got back as fast as he could.
That's right. That's true. So I grew up in North Houston. But so God brought us back, started a new job. And so we were looking for churches. Well, Becky Serber sold us our home. And so she was our realtor. So, she was talking about Mission City just as much as houses. And so it was one on our list of churches that we were going to visit anyways. And so we started coming. We were in the dance hall back then. We went to the Northwest campus back then at the dance hall because it was right by the house. And we got plugged in. Kids really got plugged in to the youth ministry, which I was pretty much their youth minister for the last 8 years. So they were pumped, for someone else. So,
you're also the janitor at times.
Yes, children's, youth, worship leader.
Right?
Yes,
mowed the yard every now and
media.
Then.
Oh, yes, that too. All that. And so we just fell in love with the church, and y'all were talking about life groups last week. One of it is we got plugged into Chuck's life group, and he was leading. And I'll tell you, Hey, I'll tell you this, since you didn't even know I was going to say it.
No,
but I'll never forget.
Do we need to edit this? Make sure.
No, it's good. It's good. I was thinking about it driving over, but we were in our life group, and you were talking about how you asked for prayer because you felt the Lord leading you to go share Jesus with someone, and you're asking us to pray for you. And I thought, man, this is where we need to be. If life group leaders asking for prayer, that they're going to go, share Jesus with someone. So we knew, we prayed about it, and God led us to join. So we joined a few months later, became members, and we're serving. I still get the emails for welcoming and the greeting team, and I was on the prayer.
How many times have you replaced on the greeting team?
Zero. I get the emails.
Well, you are preaching.
I get the emails.
You mean but, you're not going to run, greet, and then run and preach?
Well, one time I did. At one time we preached at Northwest and then did the prayer banner because we were we needed some folks there. So yeah. I preached and ran out and was at the prayer banner.
That's good.
And I got to talk to some folks for a long time. But anyway, and so we just got plugged in, and of course we love Pastor Matt, the church, the music, the life groups, everything. And then Pastor Matt said, "Hey, why don't you come help out?" And that's what I did. So I got to get to preach every once in a while.
And Paul does a great job. Paul, you do a great job.
Thank you.
You bring a really good perspective on your life experiences and what God has done in your life. And it's I enjoy Pastor Matt. He does a great job.
Oh, goodness,
I think Paul brings a different dynamic, just like Jeff brings a different dynamic. Right. When you preach, Dave, you bring a different dynamic. That's what I love about our teaching team. I mean, you get great messages from different voices and who all have, different perspectives and different life experiences.
And the great thing is about Mission City is everything is biblically based.
Yeah.
Whether it's our kids ministry, I say this almost every week, but whether it's our kids ministry, our student ministry, our man of ministry, whatever it is that we do, life groups, they are grounded in the Word of God because that is our final authority. And most of we've been taking questions.
Right.
Pastor Matt did a series on where to next, and you guys out there, the listening audience, got to send in questions. And we fielded some of those questions that we weren't able to maybe address on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so today's topic is a really good one, and we wanted to bring somebody a little more educated.
Somebody
than
that has
myself.
A DR in front
yeah,
of their...
somebody that's, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about what today's topic is. What's today's topic, Chuck?
Why does something have to die in order for us to be saved?
Okay.
In order for us to experience life?
So we're going to go back to the Old Testament. We're probably going to bust into
our relationship with God is based upon, when you look at Old Testament scripture, something had to die in order to be covered in blood,
right.
Essentially symbolically to get you right with God.
And, sure, and even going back to the Old Testament, it's a foreshadowing of Jesus' sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And so, Paul, if that's what I'm sure you've fielded this question, being a pastor for 10 years or a decade, whichever is longer.
Either one.
I'm sure you have fielded sort of this question. So when somebody comes to you and says, why is it that Jesus had to die for me to be made right with God? Or why, when I look at the Old Testament, what's the difference? So what is usually your reply to them?
Well, I would... So you got to go all the way back to the beginning, really to Genesis, but is sin enter the world, Genesis chapter 3, and right off the bat, Adam and Eve's eyes were opened, and it says in Genesis 3, 7, that they sewed fig leaves together to make their coverings, which, how did they know how to sew? But they did, so that's good stuff.
Yeah.
But hey,
I guess home ec class.
Yes.
You taught home ec, didn't you?
That's side note. I don't know how do they know how to sew? They were talking about bread the other day. I was like, man, that's a great invention. Bread. Yeah. Anyway, so
the best.
Yeah, so I don't know. They sewed Genesis 3, and it wasn't good enough because God had to take and I believe this is the first
especially
sacrifice that was made. Genesis 3:21 says the Lord God made clothing from skins for the man and his wife, and he clothed them. Now, it doesn't necessarily say, he killed anything, but I believe he did. He had to. An animal had to die for there to be a covering. So even from the very beginning of scripture, you see that we can't cover ourselves. Like we can't save ourselves.
Right.
We can't get to God on our own. God has to come to us too. And so God had to cover. So
and what's
even from the very beginning,
in that is how God made a way for them. Even though they had failed, God still made a way for them.
Yeah, he didn't just leave them.
Yeah, he didn't just abandon
in their
them
sin.
Right.
And say, good luck with all that.
Right.
Right. And I mean, so the question then is, like, we know there's covering, but how do we get to God then?
Right.
And we here's what we know in Scripture is that God is holy. Right, that means other. He's different. He's he's greater. He's glorious. So I like that word other. There's otherness is holiness. That's what Dr. Hunt said. He's one of my mentors. And so we see that pictured if you go back to the tabernacle, right? Exodus 25, ish, and they're making the tabernacle, and there's the holy place, the holy of holies, and you can't get there because that's a holy place.
Where is the presence of God?
Right. And then the only way for someone to enter the holy place, the high priest Aaron at the time, was there had to be a sacrifice. He had to be covered with blood. They put blood on his ears and all that, just mm-hmm. to symbolize this covering, so that he could walk into the holy of holies, where God's presence was. So all the way back to the Old Testament, we're seeing this. We can't do it ourselves. God has a plan. He's like you say, he's come to us. And so now, how do we get there? There has to be a sacrifice. And then there was those animal sacrifices. You can go back to we look at the Day of Atonement. They talked about where there's that scapegoat, right? So there's two goats, and one receives the innocent one, gets all the sin placed on him, and that's who's killed. That's the ram or the goat that's killed to put the blood on. So, we see that in the picture already in the Old Testament of who Jesus is, right? Jesus is completely innocent. He didn't sin. And then his blood covered us, so he had no guilt, took on all of our sin. And so even from the very beginning, you're seeing it. So why is there sacrifice? There has to be this blood covering in order for us to approach a holy God.
I love that. I love the fact that you can look at Old Testament and still see that it points to Jesus.
Sure.
I mean, I had no idea that as growing up. I just saw it as a bunch of really good stories about great men of God and their failings.
Right.
And I had no understanding until I began to grow up and began to be under some discipleship and going, man, this is all pointing to Jesus. The scapegoat, the one that didn't deserve it, is the one that had to pay the price for the sins of the many. And that's just an amazing thing.
Well, even Pastor Matt in one of his recent sermons talked about the story of the Bible is not you. The story of the Bible is not even about those that the story's about. It is about the redeeming quality that God has, about his holiness, his glory, and it all points to his son for us to make much of Jesus. And so even in the story of David and Goliath, it's not about David. It's not really about Goliath. It's about God's power working in David. And so everything in the Old Testament or the Old Covenant is going to point the way to Jesus, making a way only through Jesus. And we talked about in our podcast why Jesus is the only way. And so that's great to be able to build on top of that today whenever we talk about the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, and moving into the New Testament or the New Covenant and the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and you see it in a lot of stories too. You got Genesis 22, Abraham and Isaac, right? The sacrifice. And remember, they're walking up and
yeah.
He's like, hey, Dad, where's the sacrifice? He's like, just keep walking.
Yeah, God will provide.
Yeah. God will provide. And so he gets there, and the ram takes his place. Then you've got the kinsman redeemer and Ruth. You've got all these allusions. So it's not just in one place. I mean, even you just see the whole Old Testament building, like you're saying, building
so
up to that.
Desperate for God. We can't, it's like even in the story of Adam and Eve, it's not like after they sin, they go in the garden looking for God. Where's God at? They're hiding from God, which is what we do. We hide, trying to hide our sin, hide our shame. God comes looking for them. Adam, where are you? And so when everybody's always talking about, well, I found Jesus, actually we didn't find him. He was never lost.
Right.
I was the lost one, and Jesus found me. And again, as you talked about, Chuck, that is such an awesome observation of how the Old Testament will point the way to Jesus Christ.
Sure. We see it why is there sacrifice? Hebrews 9 tells us that, though, according to the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. So that's what we've seen in the Old Testament, and I think that rolls in, obviously, into the New Testament. Because we see the Old Testament, one of the biggest allusions to Jesus, I would say, I mean, there's obviously many, but is the Passover, right? In the Passover, in the last plague in Exodus, if they had to kill a perfect or spotless or a lamb, and take that blood and put it over the doorpost, and then the angel of death would pass over.
See,
but it was that covering of blood,
over.
Correct. Yeah. A perfect lamb had to die in order for you to be saved. And so that, to me, is even one of the greatest pictures right there, obviously leading into the New Testament. Because right at the beginning of John, John the Baptist, recognizes Jesus right there and says, hey,
behold
the Lamb.
Lamb of God.
So why
blood?
Take
away the sins of the world.
Why the blood? I mean, I know what the Bible says, that the life is in the blood. I mean, without
Leviticus 17.
Without blood, our body doesn't function. It's we have to have it. So why blood?
I think that's it. I think what you're saying is that's where life is. It's the penalty of sin is death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we deserve to die, but Jesus come, and like what the allusion through the Old Testament, the law is Jesus is coming to once and for all shed his blood, give his life, the mm-hmm. lifeblood
mm-hmm.
for us to allow us to have life.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think you're right on there. I mean, I think it's because the life is in the blood. That's
and as the hymnal writer said, there's power in the blood. At the end of this,
he wrote a whole hymnal. He wrote a whole hymnal.
A whole hymnal, yeah.
He wrote a whole hymnist.
The hymnist had the song "Power in the Blood" that Chuck's going to sing at the end of the
I just didn't know someone wrote the whole hymnal.
Yeah.
So no, we should wrap our mind around this all the time that we deserve death, and yet God made a way. While we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Right. You know, Romans 5, that we should, you know, I was just looking over this stuff and thinking about it. I was like, I should really meditate on this more than I do. I mean, you guys, we know it. We teach it.
Mm-hmm.
We live it. But, I mean, does it really grip us?
Yeah, I think I think sometimes whenever we've been a believer for a long period of time, we forget God's grace in our lives. We almost become so churchy that we almost live in a way that you know, I deserve Jesus to die for me. No, we deserve death, as you said. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And so the payment for those sins that we make is supposed to be death. And I think you're right. I think there are times we as followers of Christ need to think about that penalty. I know we do it at Easter, but are there other times in the year when we think about how lost we were, how desperate we were? And you know, I go back to my addictions and different things like that and think how desperate I was without Jesus Christ. And I think you're right. I think sometimes we become so churchy or so religious or something that we forget, yeah, once we were sinners too, yet Christ died for us.
What I love about this is this is a sanctification process. Right. It's not only just about justification. The blood covers us as we are justified in Christ, but it's a sanctification process of dying daily to the sins that we have. We have to die, and we have to die to ourselves. We have to die to our addictions, die to our habits, our bad habits. We have to die continually in order to have life and have life that Christ wants us to have, life in abundance. Right. So it's not just about justification, which awesome that we have, thank God we have that.
But that process of
sanctification is also about death. We have to die to something every day.
Sure. Well, Romans 12, you know, Paul's saying to the Christians there, I'm begging you, I beseech you, I'm appealing to you, brothers, to make your lives a living sacrifice, because that also points to the Old Testament. Those were living animals that died to cover the blood. And for us as believers, that sanctification process is that process of becoming more like Jesus every single day, dying to self, dying to our own things in order to make much of Jesus.
That's right. You know, I think maybe it's just me. I think we rationalize our sin, we minimize our sin, and when we approach this and we're like, Jesus, you know, had to die, there had to be propitiation for our sin. That's the big word for today. Jesus had to die for our sin, but we've rationalized it, we've minimized it, and it almost, I think that's why we don't focus on, the big word here is the atonement of Jesus dying in our place. Substitutionary atonement is the big million-dollar word, but we don't think about, like, I mean, our sin, no matter what it is, no matter what, is death. And in the Old Testament, I think it shows, too, the law points to the fact that we can't save ourselves. So in Galatians 3, you know, Paul tells us that the law wasn't good enough. Like, no one's keeping the law because no one can, only Jesus could.
Impossible.
So we can't save ourselves. There's nothing we can do. And so that's why God had to send Jesus in order for us to have a relationship with him, so that he can die in our place and shed that blood once and for all. Yeah. and it's done.
And even the sanctification process, we can't do that alone. That's because the power of the Holy Spirit lives in me. And so when people are talking about, well, can you lose your salvation? Well, if you could, you would. If it was up to us, I would lose it because I can't keep all of those things. But it's luckily when I stand before God, Jesus is my has been my substitute, so no longer does he see my sin. God, whenever he's judging me, he looks at his sinless son. I inherited the righteousness of Christ through his death, his burial, and my trusting in that and that alone for my salvation. So even, as you mentioned, Chuck, the sanctification process, I can't even do that on my own. That is only because of who I am in Jesus Christ.
I tell people I'm glad we don't have the sacrificial system anymore because there would be a lot of dead goats in my backyard. Like, I couldn't afford all the goats. I'd have to be wave offering.
You'd have to open up a barbecue. You'd have to open up your own barbecue.
I'd be like grain offerings, man. That's all I could afford with all the sin, right? But, I mean, that's true for all of us. But I'm saying, you know, I'm glad that we don't, because there'd be a lot of goat smell coming from
the impossibility is incredible that what we cannot do, the gap that we can't cross, the divide is just too big. And thank God for the cross, for the death of Jesus.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Again, it's because of our faith in the finished work of Christ, that's what pleases God. Is that Jesus was that sacrifice that pleased God. It wasn't the life that I live. You know, as Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ, no longer I who live, but Christ that lives me. It lives in me, and the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And so even that verse, without faith it is impossible to please God, that again, that's that idea of I can't get there without him.
Yeah, so if you're listening to our podcast today and you need encouragement, what kind of things can we tell our listener today that would encourage them based on just the stuff that we've talked about, this heavy, kind of heavy stuff that we've talked about? What kind of encouragement can they take away today?
I would say this. So here's the thing we have to wrap our minds around, too, is that when Jesus came in the incarnation, put on human flesh, he knew he was going to die. Like, that was his purpose. Like, you know, he talks about being the good shepherd. He lays down his life for his sheep. Like, he knew this was going to happen. You think about the Lord's Supper, right? We have the Lord's Supper available every Sunday, and we take that. And Jesus said, you know, this is my body given for you. He knew what he was doing. And I think we just have to, some of us, maybe we get so separated and things go on. Things happen in our life, trials, struggles. And maybe it pulls us away from God, but you got to remember, Jesus Christ came to die for you. Like, he loves you that much. He cares for you. That even when you're struggling, even when you're, you know, at your lowest, there's someone there who loves you and cares for you. And how much? That he stepped out of heaven to come and die in your place on the cross and rise again and give you victory.
And no sin is greater than his blood.
That's right.
And there's no distance away from God that he can't cross to get to you. You can't be so far removed from God that he cannot impact and change your life.
And that's ultimate hope, that you always, there's second chances, there's grace, there's mercy. And so just this idea of atonement, that Jesus cares enough about you. Now, we don't going to get big heads and be like, God loves me a little bit more than you because he died. No, that's, you know, he loves us all. But we don't get big heads about that. But I think it just encourages us. And maybe for those who are listening or watching and just maybe going through that rough patch to know, listen, God loves you. He sent Jesus for you. And he gave his life. Like, the life is in the blood. He gave it all so that we can have life in him, like that great exchange.
And he rose again. And you mentioned this when you went to Chuck's life group, and Chuck talked about, hey, pray as I go to share Christ with somebody. If you're listening to and you're a parent, you have a wayward child that's way out there. I know that I was way out there, and there were people praying for me. So don't give up on praying for them, because you know, as Jesus or as God walks into that garden saying, Adam, Eve, where are you? And making a way for them. Remember, he is going to make a way, hopefully, for those that you're praying for too. So don't give up on that. God's still, until that trumpet sounds, there's still that opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ or for that loved one to come to faith in Christ. So don't give up.
And there's that freedom in Christ, right? And so, like we were talking, we went back to Genesis where they sowed the fig leaves, however they knew how to sow. But they sowed, we can't do it. And so maybe you've been trying all these things to get closer to God. Like if I just check off this list of all these things and you haven't given your life to Jesus, that's the key. And when we do that, we find that freedom. Like that burden of sin is taken off our shoulders and placed upon Jesus who bore our sins, right? And so that gives us that freedom. And so maybe if you're listening, you're watching, and you're like, you've been trying to checklist things to get to God, and maybe, you know, you think you can climb this ladder to him. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches you give your life to Jesus. You believe in him, confess your sins, accept him into your life, make him Lord and Savior. That's when you find that freedom.
Yeah.
That we all desire, and the hope and the joy.
Well, awesome. Paul, it's been awesome today, man. Thank you for coming
thanks
in.
Thanks for coming.
I was just preaching.
I don't know how you got here, but
thanks.
I'm glad you wandered in here.
I'm not
somehow.
Sure what we would have talked about had he not showed up. That was that's amazing.
Toy Story.
Apparently. Yeah.
There's probably going to be Toy Story. Might have been the good burger I had yesterday somewhere or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
We tend to go there sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Yeah, this really was a great discussion, and I'm looking forward to next week. We love you guys, and see you next time.
Huh? See you guys next week.
Thank you so much for listening to the Mission City Podcast. If you enjoyed this session, then we encourage you to rate and review this podcast on whichever platform you are listening. It really helps us reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you again, and we look forward to seeing you next week.